In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text is our gospel reading from Matthew, the 9th chapter. Brothers and sisters in Christ, looking out over the crowds gathering to be healed, Jesus saw the helplessness of the people he had created. He saw how they were harassed and beaten down under the weight of their sin and others' sins, like sheep without a shepherd. And being in the flesh, he saw and he knew what the deepest needs of humans really are. So he commanded his disciples to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. I can imagine that the 12, nodding at Jesus' words, began maybe even that moment to pray that the Lord send laborers into the harvest. But notice, God's answer to the command to pray, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, Jesus called to him his 12 disciples and gave them his authority over unclean spirits and every disease and affliction. Verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out. The 12 apostles, named in Matthew chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, were the ones whom God chose as his first laborers to send into those ripe harvest fields of Israel. And later, in chapter 28, Jesus would send the representatives of his church into the field of the whole world. Be careful, disciples, what you pray for. You may just be the answer to your own prayer. These passages, however, are not about their work or ours. Scripture is clear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. It is the word of Christ alone that opens closed ears and gathers men and women from fields of hopelessness and sorrow and despair. So, dear Christian, therefore pray for the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. As long as there is even one person who does not believe that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, as long as even one person is still harassed and helpless in the midst of their sin, this remains the prayer of the church. For God desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Thus it is the will of God that laborers be sent into the ripe fields of harvest, because his compassion is for all lost sheep, every nation, every language, every tribe, all people, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? St. Paul asks. And how are they to believe in him whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? Paul takes it for granted that preachers, laborers, are sent. That means that we cannot send ourselves into the mission fields, no matter how great the need that we might see there. It is not up to us to send ourselves. God sends. And our part is not to question God's wisdom in whom he sends, but simply to pray that laborers be sent into the harvest. Let us not forget, though, that every person here who has been baptized and given saving faith is called to bear witness to the one who saves, to give a reason for the hope that is in you, and to be salt and to be light. You are to do what the people did in Matthew 15. Great crowds came to Jesus, bringing with them the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others. And they put them at his feet, and he healed them. What a relief to know that you are not responsible for the healing or for faith. Your responsibility is simple, but it is important. Bring anyone you can to the feet of Jesus, here, to this place, that he might heal them. For he has promised to do it. This witness is the responsibility of the whole baptized believers, to the whole body of Christ, his church. But even with this common responsibility, not everyone here is called and sent as a full-time laborer. Through the church, through the people of God, God himself calls and sends men to be pastors of his church. And let us not forget that these men whom God calls are not more perfect or more holy or more Christian than anyone else, than any of the sheep of God's church, than any of you. For even we pastors confess the words, "I, a poor, miserable sinner." So, what are we to do when our pastors fail us? At this congregation, as in every congregation of which I am aware and I have served, you have had experiences with both faithful and unfaithful shepherds. You know what it feels like to be served faithfully for many years, and you know what it feels like to be unable to place your full trust in a called servant of God. Notice then that the list of the 12 that is given in Matthew 10 also includes Judas. So what do we do when our pastors act more like wolves than shepherds? How can we place our trust in fallible and often messed up men? Before we hear Scripture's answer to that, I will tell you this. Pastors feel the same way. What are we to do when sheep act like wolves, hiring and firing and disregarding God's divine and sacred call? How can they serve a congregation that sometimes couldn't care less what God's word has to say? And God is not silent about failures on either side of the pastor and people relationship. To the unfaithful and self-serving shepherds, God says in Ezekiel 34, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strays you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them." Those words cut to the heart of every pastor, even me. And to the obstinate, stick-necked, wicked sheep, God says in Isaiah 30, "For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear in the instruction of God, who say to the seers, 'Do not see,' and to the prophets, 'Do not prophesy what is right, but rather speak the smooth things, prophesy illusions, leave the way, turn from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. So, the question really is, what do we do with the failure in either the shepherd or the sheep? The answer is found in the one who labored for them and on their behalf. The one who labored for us and for our salvation. Jesus Christ, our God and Lord. He never misleads, never abuses his authority. He never fails. And yet, he becomes the greatest failure in your place and mine, taking all our failures as his own. He who was faithful in everything, allowed everything to be taken from him. And to us who have not been faithful, he has given us his faithfulness. Jesus was sent by the Father to gather in his harvest, including you, including me. God chose you in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He strengthens the weak. He heals the sick. He binds up the injured. He brings back the strays. He seeks the lost. He forgives sins. He raises from the dead. So do not put your trust in man. Put your trust in Christ, who is the one who is the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Using the imperfect laborers as instruments whom he has sent, it is really Jesus who preaches into your ears and into your mind and into your heart and into your mouth. It is Jesus who says through these sinful men's lips, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus baptizes saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Jesus feeds and nourishes you saying, take and eat, take and drink. This is my body, this is my blood given and shed for you. Depart in my peace. Your sins are forgiven. It is true that sinful humans are God's laborers in the field. But it is also true that the work of those laborers does not determine whether the harvest is ultimately gathered in. The Lord of the harvest is the one who will, at the end of the age, gather those who are truly his. Only Christ can guarantee the success of the word preached by his chosen servants. I, your sinful human shepherd, will fail you, and you will fail me. Because we are all precisely that, sinful. Even so, pray to the Lord of the harvest. Pray for faithfulness in the midst of human weakness, which simply means what it has always meant: confession of our sins and receiving Christ's forgiveness, grace, and mercy, and then giving it to one another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven us. Behold, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, they are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Indeed, he has already answered your prayer. And he will continue to do so as long as there is a harvest to be gathered. In Jesus' name, amen.